Are you ready to sell more books? I'm Brian Cohen.
And I'm Claire Taylor. If you're ready to get your books into the hands of the right readers
and make some more money,
you've come to the right podcast.
And now it's time to talk tips, tricks, and news to help you sell more of your books. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sell More Books Show, episode 487. I'm Brian Cohen from Best Page Forward, joined by Claire Taylor from FFS Media. Claire, we are getting into the heart of August. Before we know it, the summer will be over. The fall tends to be a time when readers are kind of coming back into their routines, picking up on books that they may have forgotten about for a while. Do you do anything leading into the fall when book sales tend to be a little stronger? I'm sure, you know, as you get into Halloween season with your paranormal cozy stuff. Do you do anything specific on those?
Not really. I mean, I just keep on writing, but I do sometimes hold on to books until then to release. I have so one of my series that I'm co-writing with two other authors, we release in August because it's kind of building up. We do one a week for the three of us, and we release that to kind of build some momentum going into the fall. And then I do have a book coming out in September that's a cozy mystery. It's not really Halloween related, but they all kind of are because they're psychic mysteries. So
yep.
I do that. Maybe I'll run a sale or something, but I don't do a whole lot of promo with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Understood. Yeah. I think the fall can be a really fun time to see people get into colder weather and hopefully cuddle up with a book. So definitely keep that in mind. If you haven't checked in with your list in a while, maybe the fall is a good
time. This is a reminder to email your list. We email your list every week.
Email your list. So we don't have a question of the week because we kind of covered some of the last ones. So what say we just get into the top story?
I love it. Let's do it.
All right. Under the bridge reviews. Book reviews can be huge in helping a book succeed. But when bullies and trolls band together to overwhelm a book with negative reviews, they can have the opposite effect, potentially leading to the book's failure, keeping it from being published in the first place, according to Slate and Good E-Reader. The practice, known as review bombing, is when a large number of people post bad reviews on a book, often before the book has been released, with the intention of harming the author or the book's sales. Quote, review bombing has affected many authors lately, says Navkiran Dhaliwal of Good E-Reader, and in particular on Goodreads. On the Goodreads platform, users are able to review a book that's not yet up for sale, pre-sale, or even ready for ARC readers. Users can simply add books to the Goodreads platform on their own, after which anyone can rate and review them, even if it's physically impossible to have read them lately. Some recent review bombings have led to devastating book launches, and in one high-profile case, even the cancellation of the book's publication, says Slate's Angela Lashbrook. The Snow Forest would have been Elizabeth Gilbert's newest book, a historical novel set in Russia. The book features a family fleeing the tyranny of the early Soviet government to live in hiding in the remote forests of Siberia. Reviewers angry that anyone would glorify Russia by setting a story there while the Ukraine-Russia war rages on, review bombed the book, having never read it or its anti-Russian government story. Gilbert gave in and had her publisher stop the publication of the book. Quote, her self-cancellation sets a dangerous precedent for authors who lack her wealth, career stability, and clout, writes Lee Stein of Unheard. What happens when their audience demands a product recall? Claire, I don't like that we had to do two stories in a row, 2 weeks in a row with kind of a slightly negative toned thing, but we do want to address things that are out there. Trolls are out there. I mean, you know, I know some friends who run AI products, and they've had trolls bombing their products. Author trolls. Interesting. So we've got author trolls, but we also want to be authors who don't get trolled. So what do we do here, Claire, in the face of these challenges?
I think this is probably the story that puts me at the most risk of cursing by accident on this show. This whole like pile on before the book has even come out stems from the same fear that is fueling book bans. It's the same fear of ideas in print that is fueling book bans. And I hate it. And I have actually seen an author give a preemptive one-star review to a book. That was the final straw. That person is no longer in my life. Because that is, it's so extreme, and it's self-gratification to feel like you're taking action when it's not meaningful action. You don't actually have the information to take meaningful action before a book is published. And it also does nothing. It does nothing towards what you're trying to do other than you are trying to censor people's speech. And, you know, if I feel like if these some of these one-star reviewers could make it legal to censor just the people's speech that they didn't like, they would. And it's that same mentality. And I think it's disgusting, frankly, to just put it gently. I think it's disgusting behavior. And I think that most people see that. And if you're a one-star reviewer like this and you bomb it, we see you. We see you. And we see it on Goodreads because your name's associated with it. And guess what? You're not getting on anyone's
We don't just
review team.
Figuratively see you. We see you literally on Goodreads.
Yeah. It comes on my Goodreads feed. And I go, okay, well, certainly that person's never getting a review copy of any of my books.
You got to remember that kindness gets rewarded very, very slowly, but it gets rewarded greatly. Whereas the opposite of kindness, you feel a reward right away, but it's all fake. And
it is.
You're
it's
actually
fake.
Going to have bad things happen to you if you tend to go on the side of not kindness. And it feels like because you get an immediate result that you get an emotion from, you are feeling like piling on and continuing to be unkind and continuing to be unkind will actually help you, but it's making it so that fall will eventually be so precipitous, you may not be able to recover from it. And so I absolutely agree with you, Claire. This is a disgusting practice. And any authors who are involved in trolling of any kind, it will potentially come back to bite you, and you should be careful about it.
Yeah, a persecutor complex where you think you are entitled to be judge, jury, and executioner is not heroic. Grow up. That's all I have to say to anyone who is doing that. Grow up.
So, Claire, we've talked about the
I don't think I cursed. I don't think I cursed.
You didn't. You did great.
Okay.
You
blacked out great. For a second there, but I didn't curse.
Okay, no, you're back. So, if we're into the hot potatoes of wisdom here, we've talked a lot about the people who are doing this are jerks. But if authors, how should authors respond if they have one of their books targeted by a review bomber?
I gotta say, I don't know how an author should respond externally, what actions they should take if their book is, you know, review bombed by just trolls before it even releases. I don't have the answers to that, but I do know that if this happens to you, it's very important that you do what you need to protect yourself and withdraw and make sure that you don't internalize that hate. Because it's very easy when people pile on to internalize the hate that you're getting. And that does not help the situation. You're free to say they have no valid points here. And go spend time with people who do not treat you that way. You know, turn off the computer, give yourself space, because this is a really, it's a really traumatizing event to have happen to you, no matter who you are. And it's essentially people saying that you are so bad that you don't even get to speak, which is not what we do in this country, really. Technically we shouldn't. So it's just really important that you give yourself the space that you need to not internalize it and to reconnect with yourself, because those people are trying to get you to hate yourself.
Very important points. Thank you, Claire.
All right, Brian, what, if anything, should Amazon, the owner of Goodreads, do about this review bombing issue?
So if you are Amazon and you've got this deal with Goodreads where, hey, anyone can post a book before it's published, you can stop that. You can just stop this dumb policy, because obviously people are exploiting it. So if I'm Amazon, I am removing the ability for a person who is not the author, who is not the automated system, to upload a book to be reviewed prior to publication. And so I understand that in the old days, when we could trust people a little bit more, there were some values to getting the reviews on the platform early. But now that we've actually had books canceled because of this, obviously we cannot have nice things. We can no longer trust internet people with not holding back. We cannot trust them to be kind and genuine and smart about this stuff. So we have to take away their toy. And I do think Amazon should take care of this.
Yeah. I just think of the meme that's like, you know, racism, knock it off. You know, sexism, knock it off. You know, have you seen this meme? No.
I think I've seen it maybe once. Yeah.
They need to add review bombing. Knock it off.
Knock it off. Love it. Love it. Almost as much as I love. Pew, 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 pow, pow, pow.
Lightning strike.
Lightning strike. This is now becoming Pokemon. Thunderbolt now. So Claire, how should authors deal with the fear of putting their books out into the world, which, as we've covered, can be scary from time to time? How do we deal with that fear?
Yeah, there is going to be fear releasing a book. You don't know how it's going to be received. You know, maybe you've had some people look at it, your editor, maybe alpha readers, beta readers, maybe a review team. It's still going to be scary. I think about this week, my niece had her first piano recital. She's Ooh. 5. Mm-hmm. And up until about 20 minutes before it, she was like, no, I'm not doing it. This is too scary. She was crying. She's trying to tell herself, you know, through her tears, she's saying, it's okay if you make mistakes, you know, but she was not believing it. But there was enough support. And, you know, she finally realized that it probably wasn't as scary as she thought it was going to be. Right? Yeah. She had some context. My sister was explaining to her, well, remember that big slide that you didn't want to go down, and then you went down it and you actually loved it? Maybe this is like that. And I think that we're still just like these little children at that in that part of our brain. And we have to remember previous scary things we did that worked out okay, and then go through the fear, because you can't be brave without fear. You know, if you're not afraid, then it's not a brave thing to do. So it's really about mustering that courage and remembering that probably, you know, if you make it to your deathbed, let's all hope we all make it to a deathbed, you'll look back and you're more likely to regret not having done it. So do it for the sake of not having that particular regret.
I loved that quote you just made. If you're not afraid, then it must not be a brave thing.
Yeah, it could be that you're just, you know, too ignorant to know the dangers, but then that's still not bravery.
True.
All right, Brian. Is a little bit of fear when writing and publishing a good thing?
I think a little bit of fear when writing and publishing can be a good thing. Sometimes fear is telling you that you're going in the right direction. Obviously, not always, but our fight or flight response was trained on some stimuli that are no longer around in this current modern world. And so we tend to think that things are worse than they are, that they are scarier than they are. But sometimes fear is actually telling us we need to be going in a different direction. There is an author, Alexandra Robbins, who was monitoring this message board that I used to post to. And I asked her, how do you deal with all this fear? And she said, well, sometimes you need to go toward it. Sometimes the fear is telling you this is the right direction for you. And so I do think a little bit of fear makes sense to have as part of your repertoire.
Love it. Yes. It'll be there whether or not it makes sense.
Right, right. Whether or not it's helpful, it'll be there. It'll be there. Claire, how do you, and we're doing a double question, so we're going to each ask ourselves the same question. How do you feel like you've expanded your comfort zone in publishing over these last 5 years?
Over the last 5 years, I've expanded my comfort zone with publishing through repetition. Mm. I mean, a lot of it is just repetition. And I do find that if I haven't published a book for a while, I actually have a lot more anxiety when it's time to publish that next book. So there is some exposure therapy involved. But I also like to point my attention to what matters to me, which is readers reaching out to me and saying that this book, I really needed this book. I needed someone to say the things that you said. Because it's usually those things that I said that I'm worried about saying, right? Mm-hmm. The things that are a little subversive, that sort of thing. And so I could focus on the people who get mad at me for saying those things, but I choose to put my attention towards the people who say it matters. And that purpose helps me combat some of the fear.
Focus on who's mad or focus on what matters.
Right. And use people who are mad as marketing material.
Yes. Love it. Love it, Claire.
All right, Brian. How do you feel like you've expanded your comfort zone in publishing in the last 5 years?
So I feel like I've expanded my comfort zone in publishing over these last 5 years by trying new things when it comes to putting my books out there. I hadn't published for a couple of years when I decided, oh, I'm going to do a Kickstarter. And I was putting out a book for the first time in years in a completely different way. It felt totally rushed and out of my element. Printing things at printers and doing all that whole thing. And I loved the opportunity to learn from that so much so that I did it a second time. Now, the second time, the way I expanded my horizons on that was, oh, I got more help. Because I needed more help. I did not want to ship anything myself. And so I didn't. And that made a huge difference there. And then thinking about kind of other ways, I've tried now selling direct. I've tried to connect with readers directly through building a list at the same time as selling. And it's scary because it's a whole new medium. It's a whole new platform to learn. But once you learn something, you can get better and better at it through, just like what Claire said, repetition.
Yeah, there's no lack of new things to try.
Yeah, that is for sure. That is for sure. So, Claire, my heart goes out to a few people who are probably experiencing this right now. So what should you do if you're an author with a pre-order deadline that you have very little chance of reaching?
Yeah, that's tough. You've put a pre-order deadline up, people have already ordered it, and you're starting to realize there's no way I'm going to hit this. Yeah. I would say you should try caffeine pills. Totally kidding. Don't do that. It's not a huge problem to cancel a pre-order. You'll lose those sales, but if you're not going to hit it, you're not going to hit it. And that's all right. You'll hit it later. I think at least you'll have a story to tell your readers. Listen, you've built a list, most likely. Email them and tell them the story of how crazy things are and how you're not going to hit this deadline. And you're probably going to get a huge response because that's a very human thing, that it's not just writers who are struggling to hit deadlines and meet all the expectations right now. It's everyone.
Yeah.
So you could use that as an opportunity to connect with readers, to ask for their support, to, you know, tell them this story because they love your stories, mm-hmm. and ask if they will, you know, order again. once you have it up later. You can also just contact Amazon. I actually did like a little snafu recently that I was putting up a bunch of books for pre-order, but the fourth one had a pre-order date much later. But I was listening to true crime and I totally spaced and gave the fourth one the same pre-order date as the first three, which was impossible to hit. So then it was like, oh, well, if you change this, we're going to cancel all your pre-order privileges for a year on Amazon. And I was like, oh no. So I just got on a chat with someone who was like, hey, I made a mistake. Like, can you, you know, cut me some slack here? And they helped me out. If it's not a chronic thing that you've done, if it's your first time, just reach out to them and see if a customer service rep will, you know, give you some mercy. They're humans too.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is appreciated. Awesome. Great advice, Claire. We need a question of the week. Today we talked about review bombing. We talked about authors dealing with fear. We talked about expanding your comfort zone. I feel like we should ask everybody the same question we asked each other. What do you think?
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's easier, too.
So that is, how do you feel like you've expanded your comfort zone in publishing in the last 5 years? Or if you haven't been around for 5 years, just since you started, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, exactly. Love it. You can answer the question of the week over at sellmorebookshow.com in the comments section for episode 487. Or in the Sell More Book Show After Party Facebook group. Claire, you know, it's going to be mid-August soon. Anything readers, authors should look forward to when it comes to FFS Media? Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yes. What? My course is open for enrollment. This is the 5-week Liberated Writer course. You don't have to sign up right away, but just go check it out at liberatedwriter.com. It'll give you an option to look at the retreat or the course. Click the course button. That will take you to the page. Go check it out. And also, I will be at BeccaCon in Minnesota in October. So Becca Syme does her BeccaCon where it's strength stuff, but I'm also going to be presenting on Enneagram. So you may want to sign up for that and meet me live and we'll do some Enneagram work together if you're interested.
Love it.
I don't know the website for that.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm sure people can Google. Great. Awesome, Claire. Well, I will say my final thoughts for today are I've sold a lot of books. I've worked with a lot of authors and I still have various degrees of fear every single day of my author life. And that is normal and that is okay. And you are not a baby author because of it. It is something that all of us have from 0 to 1 million plus. And so please just remember that that is normal. You're doing great. And we really appreciate you listening to our show.
Yeah, we do. We do appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. Now that I think about it, we do.
You're right, Brian. We do.
Ah, it was at the top of my mind all along. For Claire, I'm Brian. Have a great week of book selling, everybody. And we will talk to you next week for episode 488. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sell More Book Show. Visit the website at www.sellmorebookshow.com for detailed show notes and subscription information, or to send us news or comments for use on the show. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening, and happy book selling.